You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week we're looking at Iran's recent sort of violations of some parts of the nuclear deal. Just for a quick thing, this was various countries, mainly the United States and in Europe, imposed sanctions on Iran's economy in relation to them pursuing a nuclear program, which they claim is just for nuclear power, but the United States claims it's for nuclear weapons. So it's very controversial. Trump hates it, and pretty much as soon as he got into office, he pulled the United States out of it. Most of Europe is still in there, but without the United States, not a whole lot of point. And so Iran has now begun to enrich uranium. And this really, speaks to the ongoing conflict between Iran and the United States, which goes back to the late 1970s, which is when you saw the downfall of the Shah, the pro-American president who had been supported by him famously in 1955. The United States and the United Kingdom helped oversee a coup which sort of restored him to power, pretty much ended democracy in Iran. Then he was ousted in 1979 by sort of a mass revolution of the people, but was then sort of hijacked by a sort of clerical theocratic class which has held power ever since. They just keep sort of going against the United States. And this has really been sort of the underpinning for a lot of conflict in the Middle East. So to present the sort of American side of the argument, specifically seeing the sort of Trump Republican side of the argument, we have this clip here from Fox News.
Bob, it only seems that it's gotten worse since then. The revolutionary theocratic zeal that guided those students now guides the regime. Some of those young students now run the country. What have we learned in this time?
We've learned that Iran is going to be a continued challenge to the United States. Ever since the hostage crisis, as the preview just provided, it really was a point of departure for traditional diplomacy. We've got revolutionary Iran now, and as you mentioned, Eric, many of those protesters are now in the government of Iran. There's still revolutionary Iran. They continue to frustrate, they continue to flout international norms. And the United States is looking forward from this anniversary time to how to actually deal with this revolutionary Iran. When does Iran return to being a nation state? When do we actually have some sort of a diplomatic breakthrough so that we have a dialogue? That's yet to be seen.
Do you think that's even possible, that they can return to the peaceful international community of nations that respect the human dignity and not human suffering and executing their opposition?
At this point, with this particular government, especially with Ayatollah Khamenei, as well as regardless of what the Majlis or what Foreign Minister Zarif or President Rouhani says, Ayatollah Khamenei has a vote, and it's in their constitution as well, ever since Khomeini established the Iranian constitution. So in terms of returning to normal diplomatic discourse, the United States and Iran are still going to remain at loggerheads. And I think the Twilight War, as it's been termed, the Cold War with Iran will persist, and we need to continue to find a way to work with our allies and partners to strengthen defenses and to anticipate where you're going to have revolutionary zeal and where you're going to have violence in the Persian Gulf, in other places in the Middle East where we have our interests.
All right, and that was retired Navy Captain Robert S. Wells speaking on Fox News about sort of the ongoing sort of tensions with the United States and Iran, in which the nuclear deal is the sort of latest flashpoint. So as you saw there, pretty sort of grim analysis of the United States' relationship with Iran, pretty much saying that war is inevitable. And you saw very much emphasizing the role of the sort of theocratic Revolutionary Guard, Ayatollah faction of Iran, and really just ignoring, he sort of mentions Hassan Rouhani, who's the democratically elected prime minister, who is quite a reformist and who does have to still obey the Ayatollah to a degree, but has quite a lot of clout in that he has the support of the local people, especially the electorate of Iran. I mean, he got in the first time with a big majority. He pushed for even more sort of radical reforms, letting women go to universities and that sort of thing. He got even more votes the second time round. So there's clearly a big groundswell of support in Iran for a sort of turn away from this, theocratic right-wing government. But of course, you're not going to hear that on Fox News. It's all just Iran is the enemy. And there was, I think, a certain irony that I think people noticed. The American talking about how, you know, Iran has no respect for international norms of diplomacy, where of course you had, you know, America doing the Iraq War famously, and has not exactly have a great reputation for respecting sort of the sovereignty of other countries. So on the flip side of this, we have Press TV's The Debate, which is their sort of half-hour main current affairs show. This is from the state broadcaster of Iran, giving their perspective on the recent developments with their nuclear deal.
It's almost a year and a half since the United States unilaterally withdrew from the 2015 nuclear deal between Iran and the world powers. 6 months later, and exactly on the 5th of November 2018, Washington fully reimposed all its sanctions on Tehran that had been lifted under the deal known as a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Despite the U.S. move, the remaining signatories to the deal pledged to help Iran evade the U.S. sanctions and smoothly continue its business with the rest of the world. However, despite the promises, no tangible results could be produced over the past 18 months. In response to Europe's inaction, Iran started reducing its commitments under the nuclear agreement phase-wise. On Tuesday, which coincides with the anniversary of the reimposition of the U.S. sanctions, Tehran announced its new scale-back and sent a letter to the International Atomic Energy Agency to inform it about its decision.
The step that we will take as of Wednesday will be at the Fordo nuclear facility. We have some 1,044 centrifuges at Fordo. Under the nuclear deal, these centrifuges can keep spinning, but gas cannot be injected to them. Now, under the fourth step, we will begin injecting gas to Fordo centrifuges.
Rouhani also made it clear that Iran cannot keep abiding by the rules of the agreement while other parties fail to live up to their obligations.
We cannot fully abide by our commitments while they fail to live up to their obligations. We know that they are sensitive about Fordo and these centrifuges, but once they live up to their commitments, we will stop feeding gas to the centrifuges. Therefore, the fourth step, like the previous ones, is reversible.
Iran says all measures it has taken so far regarding its nuclear program lie within the framework of the landmark 2015 agreement. The IAEA had also confirmed Iran's compliance with the accord in more than a dozen of its reports. Now it remains to be seen whether Tehran's fourth step encourages Western countries to take serious actions on trade with Iran, or the Islamic Republic continues to decrease its commitments under the deal.
So as you heard there, that was Press TV's The Debate, putting forward an argument which I do think is fairly, genuine, acceptable. And, you know, there's a lot of things you can criticize the Republic of Iran for. But in this case, they have done everything right. They, you know, signed up to this deal. They obeyed it. And now it's America that's torn it up. And it's just interesting that, you know, you heard on Fox News the guy banging on about, oh, Iran has no respect for international norms, when it is, in this case, America that has pretty much just blatantly violated this treaty, which was reached, you know, in a sort of multilateral framework that we're all supposed to be pursuing.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.